This episode is brought to you by Vuori. I love sports. I know you do too. I also know that lots of you exercise, but if you're like me and my wife, the beloved sports gal, you're sick and tired of ugly, uncomfortable workout gear, especially, you know, I do a lot of walking. I walk around LA. I make calls. I listen to podcasts. Here are two words that will change everything. Vuori clothing, a line of activewear that is unbelievable. The best thing about Vuori is you can lounge around in it. You can work out in it. You can go outside. You can go shopping down in your local wherever. And you never feel like you're either underdressed or overdressed. You're just comfortable. You can wear it when you're training, traveling, lounging around the house. Go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. Here's the deal. Our listeners get 20% off their first purchase at Vuori.com/Simmons. Once again, Vuori.com/Simmons. This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
Hello and welcome to Writer's House. Hope you are all safe and well. We're coming to you on Easter Sunday, straight after Manchester City 0, Arsenal 0. We've gone to the Etihad, my friends, and come away with a point. Massive performance there from the lads. Liverpool are the new league leaders after beating Brighton. They look very, very dangerous up there. And the women win the Conti Cup. Best wishes to Freedom Arnhem. Congratulations to Jonas, Stina, and everyone else. And my guests are Mr. Clive Palmer and Musa Okwongo, the misters. How are you, gentlemen?
Very well indeed. How are you?
Nice one. I'm really good. How are you doing? Clive, you good?
Not bad. Yeah, just settling down the own heart rate from the afternoon football.
Yes.
So it's quite good. I'm settled.
You know something? Where's my message so I could play? And this is exactly how I felt this morning. Because I don't know, I was so nervous and at the same time very excited. Mm. And then my son sent me this message and it's kind of summed up how I was feeling. Let me see if you can hear it.
I'm so excited, but not excited because I'm kind of scared, but I'm not really that scared because I think we're really good, but I'm kind of excited, man.
So, perfection.
So that's how I felt. And you know, going into the game, seeing the teams in that, Clive, I still felt, you know what? I feel like, you know, City are going to have to be at their very best because I know that defensively we can go at them. But I know that 28% possession and people are going, 28% possession kind of shows that we're not really going at them. You know what I mean? But there was a couple of opportunities. But at the same time, I'm not joking, that's one of the best defensive performances we put on for a long time in what we were doing and the concentration levels and how you have to stick with what you're doing. It was really, really impressive when you look at where we were last year. You know what I mean? I can't look at anything but be very, very happy with that result. The 1 point was massive. We had an interview with Martin Ødegaard afterwards. And the thing is, what was refreshing, guys, was he was quite upset that we didn't do more against them. He felt a little bit like, he kept saying, you know, I've got mixed feelings because that's where they are mentally now. They're going to places like City and they believe that they could beat them, and that is encouraging.
I want to throw in a couple of things. I mean, first of all, you look at I was talking to Clive before we started recording about the growth in terms of the maturity. Arsenal before would have gone there to make a point. Let's go at them in their home. And actually, no, you don't do that. Like, you're walking into Mordor, drop the ring off and get out. Don't try to humiliate in that place of strength. So go there. And it was clear from the very beginning, Arsenal had that mentality of going to sit tight and sort it out. Can I say, like, a lot of people would give man the match with different players, but for me, it was Declan Rice. Incredible. And what I mean by that, those moments where they're trying to play out and they can't really get out, Arsenal, and Declan Rice just coming across the left, working the triangles, getting out to the flank and just snuffing out everything and just organizing and talking. And I can see why Martin Odegaard's a bit upset because I think some of his passing, funnily enough, wasn't the best. on the counter. And I thought Saka found it very difficult to escape from the bear trap that was set up for him, that we've seen the Saka bear trap we saw against Porto. It was there against City. But what I loved about this performance, and I include Kai Havertz in that, even not even winning all the tackles, but just the defensive presence. When Arsenal was stripped down to their bare bones, they were incredibly resilient. And I was watching this game, Clive, I don't know how you felt, but I just thought, this is new. This is not the Arsenal of 12 months ago, and that is really exciting for them.
I think. It is new.
Yeah.
They're learning fast, right? So 12 months ago, we conceded 14 shots, 9 on target. Right, and we got slapped in front of the nation, and Haaland was flicking his hairband around, and his hair was flowing in the wind, and we all tucked ourselves to sleep, thinking we've just been slapped. Right, a year later, Haaland's trying to fight two monsters at the back. No change. If I'm Haaland, I'm going to speak to my agent, because these two are not going anywhere, Gabriel and Saliba. I've got a problem. I might have to go to Spain because these two guys, they're going for him, right? So we've improved. We were talking earlier, Mewson, and I was in Porto, the 0-0. We got a little bit silly at the end, 1-0. Everyone said, oh, they lack maturity. They still got to grow. Against City, we did our work. If you can't win, don't lose. Simple as that. And let people feel you, that you're coming for them. You're not scared of them. Every moment, we're going to get physical with you. Mm-hmm. I loved it for what it said today and what it's saying going forward. We might have to play these lot twice more. Right? So psychologically, we are not bereft. You know, there was one result we didn't want. It was a similar result to last year, because we'd have all questioned our progression. But we've competed, and I think we feel okay about what we've done today.
Funny you say that, Clive, because Porto made me feel a little bit like, oh my gosh, what's happening? You know what I mean? Have they found us out? What's gone on? What's going on? Why? And then again, you know, like you say, we got a bit silly at the end there, but today was just fantastic in the way that we all stayed very disciplined with what we're doing. Can I be honest? If Martinelli's playing that game, I think we win that game.
Interesting.
I genuinely do, Moose, because some of the times we were so deep and I'm thinking, okay, you know what I mean? We've got Saka's all the way back there. Jesus was all the way back there. I'm thinking, okay, they're doing that job to make sure that they stifle everywhere that they're trying to come in. But I was looking at us, we were so low in respects of getting out of our third, that I was thinking, we're going to be in trouble here. Can we keep this up? Simply because it seemed like such a long way to go without someone like Martinelli, who looks to do that, and they will know he looks to do that. So they'll try and give us a little bit more space to deal with Martinelli. So I was pleased to see him come on, because it makes Man City have to think of something totally different.
There's a funny thing when Rico Lewis is there, he's so comfortable that the right back position won't get attacked in depth, that he's actually on the left side. Like, he's moving all around that back line, because he's like, there's not, you know, what was it that Pep called?
What's the threat?
Martinelli called it an incredible weapon, he called him. But let's get this on. While we're on City, they have a major problem. So here's the thing. So this is a stat from the overlap that got sent through earlier. A list of every single manager who has conceded one or fewer shots on target against Pep Guardiola's Man City. Mikel Arteta has a third one on the board after today. So Mikel Arteta has done that 3 times. Now here's the thing. There's a list of about, I think, sort of 10, 11 of these, but 4 of them have come this season.
Wow.
Man City are struggling to get that attack moving, and there's some things going on. So I was looking, so Jeremy Doku, I don't want to sort of like criticize young players too much, but he scored 2 goals in 21 Premier League games with 5 assists. That is not enough for how ball dominant City are. You look at Jack Grealish. Jack Grealish starting on the bench, and effectively Guardiola's playing as a left wing. That is a big, big, big warning sign for Jack Grealish if effectively a left back is starting at left wing ahead of you and you cost 100 million. So there are problems in the fluency of the City attack, right? And Arsenal, I think this is why, you know, Guardiola was quite testy in the pre-match, you know, about this is the final, this is the whatever. I think Pep was trying to make this game more than it was. He was trying to make Arsenal almost bait them into, come here, try and make a statement, we'll exploit you. But Arsenal didn't fall into that trap. They're like, no, this isn't a final. It's a game where we get a point and there are 9 more matches after this. And it was so clever, because what I loved what Arsenal did, they took all the emotion out of it. The angry figures towards the end of the game weren't Arsenal players.
No,
not really. Players. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they really came in. I thought Anthony Taylor was a bit light on the yellow cards, if I'm honest. I thought he could have given more and should have given more in the first half, maybe to Gabriel Jesus and a couple of others. But generally, I thought Arsenal, in terms of their composure, this felt like old school Serie A. Italian,
you know,
team,
our physicality, our physicality gives us the confidence to be able to do that with City.
Yes.
You know, because like we can deal with that from our two guys at the back, you know, Declan in the middle and Kai up front. You see Kai, you know what I mean, challenging with these guys. He knocks people about.
Yes.
You know what I mean? He knocks people about. You know, he causes a lot of problems. He's very aggressive for the way he plays. You know, so now we've got that. We've got that in our team where, you know what? We're going to have to do 28% possession today. Fuck it, man. That's how it is. Everybody, focus on what you're doing, unless, you know what I mean? And like I say, if Martinelli was playing, I would have fancied us even more. But for us to do that and restrict them, because I can't remember David Reyes having too many saves. I can't remember that. I'm not saying that their goalie had a lot to save, but, and we should have conceded in the first half. Ake should be scoring that. But yeah, I think that break what Jesus didn't get at the far stick for us. When you look at only 28 possession, I think we broke on the right. I can't remember who crossed it, but Jesus just missed it on the far stick. And when we broke towards the end with Trossard, he's got to play that. His first touch wasn't good enough. He's got to get that out of his feet, and he puts that right across to Martinelli to come in. And I thought that with 28% possession, at that stage of the game, we were still able to break on City and nearly beat them.
Had the more dangerous chances in the first and second half. Yeah, better openings.
We did. And there's so much to look at off of the back of 1 point and think, my gosh, all we got to do now is deal with the rest. Because I think that what we showed against City today is that we have learned something.
Yes.
And we can't take like the Porto game, the Champions League game, as, oh my God, we've gone backwards. No, because
huge.
When it mattered, right, Clive, in this game where we could not afford to lose today, whereas City, if we're going to be totally honest, at home, whoever's coming, you have to beat them. We couldn't afford to lose, and we didn't.
You've taken 4 points off City in two games.
Yeah, yeah.
That is championship form. Like, what are we even doing? Like, I mean, and also Havertz, shout out to him. I thought defensively, not necessarily in the 50-50s, but in terms of it was basically a centre-back in this game.
Yeah, he's heading.
Kai Havertz is coming off a brilliant, and just some of his body positioning as well and some of the tackling. Like, Kai Havertz is coming off a great international break. You know, he looked really, really good in those games. I think, you know, got a goal in one of the two games. So I don't know. I just think this, I was thinking, and this is a credit to Havertz as well. If you're thinking about who they bring in attack to shift the needle, all of a sudden there's not a huge list of players. In terms of what Havertz gives you to liberate the team in attack and also the defensive strength, I thought he was outstanding. I think this is one of these games where the stats don't reflect the quality of what the performance was. This was like old school, I mean, like Serie A, but also Atletico Madrid almost. And that bit, I think, I don't know what you thought, Clive, as well, that moment at the beginning of the second half, City started the second half well, but that chance where Saka puts it across goal and it goes across Gabriel Jesus.
That's the one.
That's it, isn't it? Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
And can I be honest as well? One thing that really bugs me about this, and it's a general thing, this is my one gripe. When players come in and crash the box like that, why do they not come in steeper? When you come in, if you start your run from steep, then you've got your whole body coming in, but they seem to do this weird thing where they come in so shallow, they're not looking over the guy's shoulder. So the ball comes across the defender and it's too late to make an adjustment. Whereas if they come in a bit steeper, and this is weird because Gabriel Jesus...
What do you mean steeper? What do you mean
just
steeper?
Like, just like the run, where they start the run from. So he starts this run from straight down the middle, right? But if you're coming from slightly on an angle, like a 45 degree run, the centre back has to turn to see you.
And then you make him up.
Bingo. And then you're cutting. And I'm like, I've seen this so many times. And I'm like, hey, come on. Like,
I was going to say, I actually thought Jesus made a pretty poor run. Because what he did, he got in front of the defender. So he had the boss position. And what he needed to do was stay there and pin him. But then he made a secondary run in behind him. And while he was getting in behind him, which was fine, he didn't quite have enough time to get onto the end of it. So sometimes, you know, you do two runs sometimes in. I'm talking to you here, by the way. And I thought, you didn't need to, mate. You've got him in. You've got him pinned. You're there. You're in the best position.
Yeah.
Don't move.
Yeah.
He's got the problem. He's got to get around you. If he fouls you, fall over. Right. So I thought. I thought it's a game for me. Obviously, the home game, we blocked out the Saints early day, cancelled each other out. We brought on Martinelli, won the game in the home game. I thought it's a game of wide areas, and they had people in wide areas like Guardiola. And for me, they weren't great. They haven't got, this is not Sané and Sterling for me. Do you know what I mean? It's not Sané and Sterling. So though we had Martinelli and Saka on the pitch, I've just read that Saka has not trained the entire time. So he wasn't himself. And Martinelli, we know he got 15 minutes out of him. So he's not himself. They are lucky our wide men were in the state they're in. Because we would have taken them. Watching the Man United City game, Rashford got in a few times. We just need somebody to get in.
Yes.
We didn't quite have the legs.
That's what
we had to take the game that was on offer to us, which was, you know what, Jesus, you sit here in front of Kivior. You know, let's block them out. Saka, you just be a fullback today, auxiliary fullback, because maybe you've not got the legs to go long.
Yes.
And we just had to do it. So Ben White took his long running off of him. Do you see what I mean? So he went long. You know,
he was good. White was good today.
He was good.
Wow.
And you know, the thing is as well, watching it, you know, when you look at a game with Kai, he's not a natural number nine. And some of the times, and it's not just watching Kai, it's watching a lot of the centre forwards who don't get themselves when they're in play, when they run offside, to get back onside in time to be able to affect the game again with the ball that you've just retained from a mid block or whatever it is. Because there's a couple today where if Kai just got himself back into a position where he could then, while the ball's on its way from Rice to Ødegaard, who could maybe flick it round a corner quicker, he's still coming back from an offside position. Yeah. Those are the things that I see so frequently in this league. People are not getting themselves onside because the margins are so small to stay onside that you've got to do everything you can to get yourself in a position where you can not only get onside, but you can make a run that you will definitely be onside because you've bent it. And there's so much space to run into. There was like two really good occasions today. And you're thinking, okay, against City, you're not going to get a lot of opportunities where they're going to make the kind of mistakes where you've got a midfielder on the ball with time and space like Ødegaard, and you've got space behind for someone like Havertz to run into, but you're not making the right run that sets you up to be able to get yourself on the move when the pass comes through. Those are the margins.
Yes.
That's going to be the difference. You're not going to get a lot of great chances in this game, so you have to create them like that. And that is one of the things where I'm thinking, okay, if he gets that in his game, then we've got a whole different... I cannot understand how coaches are not doing more work with getting strikers to get themselves back on side.
It's a strange one, isn't it? You saw... There was a trend, wasn't there, a few years ago about standing offside and coming back. And it's almost... And this thing about stretching the play, it's almost... almost a relic of that. So maybe a generation of players who've grown up like drifting offside all the time.
Let me tell you something. George Graham would literally, he'd fucking tear your ear roll off.
Fine you, yeah.
In the dressing room, right? If you are ambling back onside, if you're offside, he wants you to sprint back onside. Yeah. It's something that's gone out of the game. Mm. It's gone. And it should be in the game even more now because the margins are so small. You can just get yourself in a position where you can be offside by fractions, but you can be onside by fractions, which is far more important.
I thought the one thing I'll criticise Arsenal for was some of the passing on the counter-attack was just not good in terms of, you know, just if, you know, the level that Arsenal are capable of, the rare occasions they had to break and just play. They got it a bit better towards the end of the second half, I think, but generally they had one or two opportunities where you just felt you execute that well and you're absolutely cooking with this. That's nitpicking, I suppose, but that's a criticism.
You know, I loved as well, Clive, with the docu substitution and then bam, the Tomiyasu. You know, so that's where Mikel said, okay, well, if you're doing that here, I'm going to move this chess piece here, then let's go.
What a player too. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That just shows the maturity, doesn't it? I think just being able to have the one-on-one guy come out there with light feet and face the other guy with light feet and just say to you, you're not getting an easy run against Kivior, who's just done 120 minututes against Wales. And he was just flagging a bit and saying, nah, we got something else for you. And I think it's important that bench... This time last year, people were dropping like flies. Now we're getting people fit on the bench. And I think we're going to need them. It's quite clear to me we're going to need them.
We are.
So we can power up to fend some teams off or maybe power up to get an extra goal, right? Which we might need later on because there's going to be some edgy moments going forward, aren't there? So
Yes, there is. But that was, like I say, that is probably as good a result for us at this stage of the season in respects of me feeling really, really confident about the frame of mind the guys are in. I'm really confident about that, especially listening to Martin Ødegaard's interview afterwards. It was refreshing to hear him coming to Manchester City with the mighty Manchester City. Let's get it right with what they've done. And feeling disappointed because and having mixed feelings about how we went about it today. But at the same time, we got a valuable point there. A valuable point.
Love it.
I think for me, just we've been watching this team grow and we think we know what we're seeing. You know, but there's the hardest game in the world, which we've just done, Man City away.
Yes.
And you think, okay, I think I know what I'm seeing here. I like it. All the numbers are saying this is a good side, but you never know until you go here, City away. And to come out of there with my belief intact that this team is really good and knowing we're not tip top fitness wise and speed wise in offensive areas, if we can stay healthy, got a real, real solid chance. Real Absolutely. Chance.
This episode is brought to you by Vuori. I love sports. I know you do too. I also know that lots of you exercise, but if you're like me and my wife, the beloved sports gal, you're sick and tired of ugly, uncomfortable workout gear. Especially, you know, I do a lot of walking. I walk around LA. I make calls. I listen to podcasts. Here are two words that will change everything. Vuori Clothing, a line of activewear that is unbelievable. The best thing about Vuori is you can lounge around in it. You can work out in it. You can go outside. You can go shopping down in your local, wherever. And you never feel like you're either underdressed or overdressed. You're just comfortable. You can wear it when you're training, traveling, lounging around the house. Go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. Here's the deal. Our listeners get 20% off their first purchase at Vuori.com/Simmons. Once again, Vuori.com/Simmons.
Jack Grealish.
Yes.
And I know the injuries, what he's had and the time it's taken him to settle into the City team, which he probably thought that he's done now, but the way he plays is not the Jack Grealish that I thought was what we've ended up to this point. When you consider how he played, how he took people on, how dynamic he was. And like I say, I'm saying this from a place of love because I do like him as a player and an entertaining player. And I'm watching him now. And yes, he is coming back from injury, so you have to give him time. But if you look at the way Jack Grealish plays now, I thought that he would be a better version of what he was at Villa. All of that, taking people on, committing people, passing, getting into the box, scoring goals. And I just feel a little bit worried for the fact that he's gone to City. The way he plays at City and the way City play, it's kind of, I felt like it's taken something from his natural creativity and natural exuberance of the way he played.
He's not attacking space. He's not attacking the gaps. So like, he's not hunting mismatches. And you look at someone like Bernardo Silva, out on that flank against Kivior, and he's like, I'm cooking you. That aggression, that... And you look at with Grealish, it's like, okay, 1-2 touch, okay, square, look up. And I think, I wonder if his head is so full of information.
Maybe.
That then, because Pep is, and I don't think it's...
I can imagine no Moose that his head, like the amount of fucking stuff that Pep must be telling you to do for this, Moose. It must be. It's changed something. That's not the Jack Grealish that I thought was going to end up at City. I loved the way Jack Grealish plays. I want the old Jack Grealish in a City team where you're thinking to yourself, my gosh, this guy's fucking amazing.
The problem is that Pep, he's not a good enough. No, this is, I don't want to be critical. The only player the only player that Pep gave that full freedom that Grealish thrived in was Messi. It's the only one. It's the only player he's given in his system where he's like, you can just go and do it. And that is the Grealish. Grealish fully unleashed, which you get at a couple of other clubs. He might get it somewhere like maybe Spurs, for example.
Yes.
He'd get it with a sort of formless attack that Spurs have this of. But he's not going to get that at City. So what he's trying to do is be very sort of, okay, within the system and then like dribble here. And you can see Pep going, look, cut here, do that. And he's like, look, I'm trying to do this so right. I'm trying to be so correct that it's hard to know when to be spontaneous and unleash that.
We got a great example, haven't we? When Thierry Henry went to Barcelona At Arsenal, yes. he was Tom Cruise, right? He was a lead actor. He could do what he liked. He could float, go left, go down the middle, do what he liked. And everyone adjusted to him. At Barcelona, he had to hold the width. And when he didn't hold the width, he got taken off. He told us all, didn't he? I think at Villa, Jack was Tom Cruise. Yes. At City, he's a cog. The player of your memories, Ian, he's not taking the game and taking the responsibility.
Will he ever come back, Clive?
I don't know. At the moment, he's running forward 5 yards and dropping it back 3 yards, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And you don't need a £100 million player to do that. You know, so it's a problem, isn't it? Just stretching the pitch and having control. Yeah. Is that enough? I'm not sure.
It looks like confidence as well, too. It looks like confidence, a lot of it.
Yeah. I just, you know, and it's funny because just quickly, you know, you hear the link that he's... like Eze, you're hearing about Eze and City, the link of Eze there, thinking to yourself, wow, you know, you can easily imagine the superhero that Eze would turn into if he goes the right way under Pep. But at the moment, you look at the way that Jack's gone under Pep and you just feel like, wow, if it doesn't work out, what happens to that player? You know, what happens to that, the Jack Grealish that for me, when he went for 100 million, I said, yeah, I could see that. And I could see him going to City and yeah. But like, you're looking at the way he's playing now. And it's even before, I know he's coming back from injury, but even before, guys, you're not seeing Jack Grealish like what he was at Villa.
No,
like you're saying, no. That guy, Moose. You know, you still want to see Jack Grealish with a team that's playing to his strengths.
Mm.
He's playing to the team. He's not playing to his strengths.
The difficult thing for him is as well, it's not immediately obvious. If it doesn't work out at City, and I hope it does for him, where he would move, it's not immediately obvious. And the quality, you look at like someone like Kevin De Bruyne.
No, I think you're right. I think that, you know, I'm not saying he should go to a Spurs, but like even Villa, you look at Villa, the way Villa play now, you know what I mean? Jack in that Villa side, you know, good night.
Yeah.
Problems. Good night.
Problems, everybody.
Fuck me.
You know, it's wild. Freedom to run Christ, that bro. Attack. Bro. And you've got speed ahead of you. Good crikey.
And City, it changes so fast. You lose your step for a second. Look at the centre-back position. Mm. The only player that is not someone you can immediately swap out is Rodri. And just behind him, Stones and De Bruyne and everyone else. Everybody else is kind of, and I include, and that sounds sacrilege, but even Haaland, because they did win a league title without a striker like City. Yeah. Haaland was an interesting one because actually today again, there's that very good chance that he missed at the near post in the second half.
Yeah.
The one that drops to him.
Yeah.
And he holds his... And there wasn't much fanfare about it, but I'm like, that is... No. Like, peak Haaland scores that. Like, Haaland at his absolute sharpest. I don't want to be like, you know, knock him too much, but that is... You know, Ian, that's the one, actually. If you think about City's opportunities... Should have been the ball game.
I think it's an interesting structured game for City, actually, because every now and again, what they do, they surprise you with something. So they did the old inverted thing, then did the old four centre back thing. Then they went long on us last season. They caught us out.
Yes.
What could they do this year? We swap the wingers?
Is that Guardiola your left wing? That was the thing. That was the main thing.
Is that it? You know, just bring on, take off, you know, just bring on Doku and Grealish.
Yeah.
Was that it? And so what that tells me is, we've really got better.
Yes.
Because that's all they could do, you know? And let's ask ourselves a question. And we're taught, it's a dangerous thing to say. City's team needs to evolve again. And maybe some of the players they've bought are not quite at the level yet. The Nunes, the Dokus, the Kovacics, do you see what I mean? They need to go and time to settle. So in a strange way, City are right there in all the competitions and they're in transition.
Yeah, it's wild.
And we're criticising them. It's crazy, isn't it? Mm. It's really crazy.
Really good result for Arsenal, I have to say. City have to take it. But Liverpool, still top of the league. Watched the game before, the Brighton game. It was a really... Danny Welbeck scored a fantastic goal, bro. Moose, you got to see. I know you haven't seen it, Moose.
Mm.
But like, I'm sure you'll catch it up. But Clive, he scored a beautiful goal. And Brighton started that game so well. But like, there was something about the game, Clive. And there's something about Liverpool at this stage of the season... in a title race that you just feel they're not going to lose this game.
It feels a bit inevitable, particularly at Anfield, right?
They, yeah.
They, They get you in that washing machine, don't they? They put it on fast spin, and then next minute you can't find your boots. You can't find your mate standing 5 yards away. You can't find him. Hold on, I could pass him last week. It's like he's gone. And so I do think I got to tip my hat to Virgil van Dijk. Right, let's think about this. He's playing with Kwanzaa, who's like a kid, 20, 21. Bradley, again, a 20-year-old. Joe Gomez on his wrong foot. A goalkeeper that's the second choice. And he's just standing in the middle of that pitch like some sort of Greek god. He's just holding that team together. He's a player. I know we all know it, but I judge people when they're not strong. You know, and he's holding that team at the moment fantastically well.
Moose, can I just say, Mo Salah, I'm not sure. I think he had a record amount of shots. He scored in the end, but obviously him coming back from injury and getting back to speed. But like, this could have been on a Mo Salah day, this could have been 5-6-0.
Wild.
Mo scoring 5 goals if he was in clinical Mo form. You know, so you look at Liverpool, and what I love about Liverpool at the moment is the way that they're going under the radar with everything, what they're doing, apart from obviously we all know the manager's leaving at the end of the season. But the way they've coped with the players that's missing, the players that have got to come back, the players that have come in, and you rightly give Van Dijk, the leader, the credit for keeping those guys focused on what's happening and what you have to do when you're at Liverpool going for a title. And how the fans, the way that they put pressure on the other team, put pressure on the referee, a tackle can turn it into a cauldron again, you know what I mean? Just to keep them going. The way they recognize it. And, you know, then, you know, obviously the cop and literally sucking the ball in. I think that Liverpool are massively dangerous in this.
Absolutely.
Massively dangerous, and we can't lose sight of it, because I can get so lost in we can do it when I look at our games, we can do it, but Liverpool can do this as well. All three of these teams can do it, but
the run-ins aren't that easy either. Yeah, the run-ins are not easy.
None of them are. No. At this stage, it doesn't matter who you've got as well. It doesn't matter. No. Teams between these teams, Liverpool, Arsenal, and City, there's going to be points dropped. Without who's going to pick them up, but it's just Liverpool with who they've got coming back, being on top of the league at the moment, Clive. I just feel I'm really worried.
It's a hard one. You can't call it. So Liverpool's harder games are towards the very end of the season. Mm. So if they get on the run and get people healthy, Europa League isn't quite as strong as the Champions League games. Mm. So we could be playing, if we beat Bayern, we could be playing City twice more. That's going to have an emotional and physical impact on us. Mm. That Liverpool's sitting there with a cigar and waiting to pick up the pieces, right? So we just got to keep winning and see.
Arsenal, go for it all. Go for the double.
That's what we have to.
You have to.
Yes, Miss. That's exactly
right. Only way out is up. That's it. That's it, man.
Nice one. Listen, guys. Thank you very much for coming in, man. Really enjoyed that. I was on a day where I woke up feeling very nervous and very excited. Mm. And I've kind of finished the day still very nervous and very excited about what's to come. Mm. But like, you know, it's going to be Luton. Looking forward to that. Because again, now the shoe's on the other foot. We're going to have to go and do what we've done to City today. We've got to hope that Luton don't do that to us. But then we've got to have the patience and the confidence to be able to break it down. But it's very exciting at the moment, man. So, like I say, you know, onwards and upwards. Thank you very much, Moose.
A pleasure. Best of luck. Best of luck.
Thank you very much,
James. Yeah.
Clive Palmer. I'll see you again soon, guys.
Yeah, man. Thanks so much, Ian.
A good day for Arsenal. I'm going to go and watch the Conte Cup now. Steena's goal. I've got it recorded to watch it now. So big up to the girls. Flo and the ladies will be on Counter Press. So you can catch that on Tuesday. And I will see you next week. So take it easy, everybody. Have a good one.